Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. She's known for her smart observational humor, quick with a quip that can cut through political drudgery, and for many NPR fans, one of the best panelists to ever exist on the quiz show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, a person who host Peter Sagal says is the funniest human being he has ever known. She is Paula Poundstone, a comedian, author, and she is returning to Northern California on April 5th with a show at the Harris Center in Folsom. Paula joins us now. Welcome back to Insight.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So you have been a comedian now for 40 years and counting, late night shows, HBO comedy specials, but a big part over this time includes NPR. What is so special about this medium, radio and audio?
Oh, it's great. You know, you don't have to get dressed. And I don't know if you are dressed, but you don't have
partially.
To.
Yeah,
because you're just a voice. It's a very, as they say, intimate. You know, the people you listen to on the radio, you feel like they're your friends. You feel like you know them. It's great. And I'm the luckiest performer in the world to get to be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's really fun to do. And in fact, we do have to get dressed because we're sitting in front, usually of a live audience. And that live audience is great too. The most recent one I was on, just since like a weekend, we were in Orlando, Florida, and, oh my gosh, do we have a great crowd.
I love that part with the NBA basketball player and his brother and how they play together and they live together.
What?
They have to travel together. I mean, that stuff is just amazing. It also, I kind of put myself there and I get kind of nervous if I were in your shoes, you know, just being on and so quick all the time. Does it ever get challenging or even boring or old?
No. I don't know how quick I am. But I have to confess that they do edit that show. So they may make it look like I'm quicker than I am. I'm fairly certain, like if you've ever been to a live taping, Peter mocks me and says that it's always much longer when I'm on because I have a problem shutting up. But I'm pretty sure that the software they use for editing just is programmed so that when it hears my voice, it cuts. I think that's how they do it. But it is really, really, really fun to do. The guy, you know who gets nervous are the callers when they're doing the quiz questions, particularly the listener limerick challenge.
Oh,
where they're told. I mean, there's two. They will have heard two words that rhyme. They will have heard the theme and they have to fill in the blank for the third word that rhymes with the right. And you would be blown away by how many times people don't say something that rhymes at all. And it's because they get nervous. That's why. And the studio audience is like starts shouting out the answers sometimes because they just can't believe the person doesn't know. It's not that they don't know. It's that they get nervous. The show plays to something like 5 million people. And if you thought about that a lot, it would make you nervous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough when you're put on the spot. Yeah, that I totally get the nerves. When it comes to comedy,
I have choked on some of the easiest questions. And part of the reason I know it's nerves is when I'm listening to the others do their like lightning round, I get every one of theirs, and you know, with some exceptions, I get every one of theirs. But boy, when it's my turn, I'm like, oh, I don't really know. Sometimes I just have in my back pocket, right? I just keep a couple of answers ready that will likely be correct. So I'll just be ready with, Trump and lemurs down his pants. Those are my two go-tos.
Well, when it comes to politics, you were the first female comic to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner. How much of a role, I guess, has politics played in your comedy and just your humorous observations in life?
You know, my act is largely autobiographical. So I talk about what I'm thinking about and what I'm doing. And there have been periods in my life where my thoughts have gone in a different direction than politics, and I might do a couple of jokes here and there. And by the way, it's never as a historian. It's never as a constitutional expert. It's as a voter. This is what it's like as a voter. As a voter, by the way, that has eyes and ears. I will say that in recent times, a lot of this stuff is on my mind a lot. And I feel very strongly that this is not the time for cowardice. And so, you know, I blurt my Trump jokes right out there. And what I generally find from the audience is, A, they, you know, hopefully they're funny jokes and they seem to respond that way. But the other thing is sort of, I think, a lot of relief. Somehow it's good to get out and laugh at this stuff. And if you couple that with, you know, some form of protest every day, then I think we might be, you know, we might be able to turn this ship around.
Do you think the tradition of the White House Correspondents' Dinner is still necessary today, especially with this administration? President Trump has never attended as president. He did attend during Obama's presidency. And even the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, is going to skip the dinner. What relevancy does it have today?
I think it'll be easier to eat without her there. You know, I'm not sure it's ever had relevancy, to be totally honest, because it's an event that's never really decided what it is. You know, in the old days, like when I did it many years ago, it was still, this was before so many of the people in the press were stars, right? This was before, like, I mean, there was cable back then, but there weren't, but there weren't so much cable stars. And I feel like it just sort of doesn't know what it is as an event. You know, are they fundraising? Are they networking? Are they entertaining an outside group? Are they entertaining one another? I just don't feel they've ever quite decided what it is. And now there's the additional layer of, you know, the statement that it makes to go or not go. I don't know. I don't find it an entirely necessary event. Having said that, I certainly enjoyed doing it myself years ago. This is how long ago I did it. The first George Bush was president. And I was not a first George Bush supporter. And I said to him, because I met him, and by the way, he was charming and he was very nice to me. And so on stage, I shook his hand and I said, good luck in the private sector. I didn't necessarily dislike him as a human being. I just didn't want him to, you know, be our president. But my feeling at the time was that I was there to entertain the correspondents.
Well, this is a little taste of what people are in for on April 5th next week at the Harris Center in Folsom. It's not the first time you have been to our area.
No, you know what? Did you ever hear the interview with Johnny Cash when he was asked why he recorded at Folsom Prison?
No,
I realize I'm not performing in Folsom Prison, but when you say Folsom, of course, it brings it to mind. I was anticipating him saying, humanity, imprisoned people, wanted to lift some spirits. You know what he said? He said, because the acoustics are really good there.
It's honest.
Yeah. So I'm assuming the acoustics are going to be better at the Harris Center.
I would hope so. And you also, you interact and play with your audience a lot. So they should kind of get ready for that next week.
Oh, they're the fun part. I do the time-honored, where are you from? What do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies of audience members emerge, and I use that from which to set my sails. So I don't really have a set per se. I certainly have jokes. Not that I don't have jokes, but I sort of determine what way to go based on, you know, who I'm talking to and like that, which is good because I can't remember a thing.
Do you just kind of parachute in and parachute out, or do you actually get to spend some time in the places that you're performing? Like, have you explored Sacramento before?
Oh, years ago, I used to work a club there. And so, although Sacramento's changed a lot since then, but And of course, I was a fan of the Mentalists, so I saw that part of Sacramento. But no, I am in a place now for just one night and then I'm gone. So I don't see a lot of anywhere. Just mostly, and people will say to me, they'll go, well, how did you know so much about the area? Did you read up on it ahead of time? No, from talking to the audience. They always reveal great stuff about the area.
Well, Paula, thank you so much for taking the time. You are a busy, busy bee. So I appreciate you taking the time to join us here at Cap Radio.
It was great talking with you. Thank you so much. And keep up the good work. We need solid, facts-based information at this point in our lives, more than we ever have. So thank you.
We're going to use that for our next fun drive. Thank you so much, Paula.
All right. Take care.
That is comedian and author Paula Poundstone, who you likely know from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She'll be at the Harris Center in Folsom on Saturday, April 5th. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcasts on Apple or Spotify. If you want to email us, we're at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.